Bible aerobics. In other words, jumping around the Bible, looking at different scripture verses. And so if you don't catch a reference or if you need a reference, don't be afraid to stick your hand up and I'll repeat it, or at the back door, just to make sure that you get them all. But this evening we're going to take a look at peace. Seven things about peace. And hope that it will be a blessing to you. It's a topic of conversation, I would say, everywhere around this globe in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a conversation piece around the kitchen table about our own lives, about our families, or maybe our communities, but also peace in general worldwide. We're looking for peace. Peace is often a conversation piece. And anytime you can turn on the news and you can hear somebody talking about peace, a peace treaty, a peace talk, hoping for peace, peace that will last, and we never seem to get it right. But peace is an important topic, and I'm thankful that the Bible has a lot to say about peace, maybe more than we realize. I'm going to start with a word of prayer, and then I want to share just a couple of quotes to get us thinking about peace, and then we'll get into the Word of God this evening. Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, thank you for the rain. We need it, and we pray, Lord, that not only would we be grateful for the sunshine and the rain that falls, but Lord, the blessings that come from your word. Lord, we're thankful for the scriptures. We're thankful for your guidance. We're thankful for the instruction and for the hope and the truth that we find within its pages. And so Lord, this evening, as we meet together this one last time here today on this Lord's Day, we pray that you would just bless every one of us in some way. We would find something, a verse of scripture perhaps, or a little phrase of truth that we could cling to. And Lord, that would encourage us, that we could meditate upon through the days ahead, that we could take with us, Lord, that would be a strength for us, an encouragement to us. So Lord, just bless your word this evening in a mighty way. Thank you, Father, for each one that's here again tonight. And we just ask a blessing on each one. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless your word as we look at it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to rattle off a few quotes just to get us thinking about peace. Nothing too extreme or new, but let me start with the first one. As Christians, peace is not something that we can lose, but it is something that we can let go of. Right? As Christians, we always have access to peace. Literally, according to Isaiah 9:6, the peace or the Prince of Peace dwells within our hearts. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. We have access to that peace anytime we want to. But it's like having access to $1 million in the bank. If you don't go and make a withdrawal, then you don't have it. And often we have access to the peace, but we don't make that withdrawal. As Christians, we can sometimes let go of our peace. We have access to it, but we choose to leave it be for a little while. And that can be a challenge. I jotted down as well, the world offers a peace that never lasts, but Christ offers a peace that never ends. And the very first verse we're going to look at is going to start us off on thinking about the fact that there are two kinds of peace, and there is. And one is a worldly peace, a peace that never lasts. It might be there for a little while, but it isn't everlasting. The peace that Christ offers is an everlasting peace. Number three, if you give up truth for peace, you end up with neither. Sometimes we do that. We'll compromise truth because we want to have a little peace. And I get it. I don't like fighting. I don't like people being upset with me. I don't like starting fights contrary to what some people might think. I really don't. I don't like opposition or adversary. I just don't like adversity. Those things, they just don't feel good. But it's still worth standing your ground than compromising. When you give up your peace for truth, or excuse me, your truth for peace, right? If I compromise, I'll back away from this truth. I'll compromise because I want to have peace. I don't want to be on, I don't want to offend or whatever the case might be. That you end up with neither. You neither either have peace nor the truth. And that's a problem. Number four, a heart ruled by Christ or a life ruled by Christ is filled with peace. And if I look at my life and I say, there's no peace in this area of my life. I have no peace in my finances. I have no peace with my health. I have no peace with one thing or another. Then it could be because I've not submitted that area of my life to Christ. And sometimes that's a problem. Number five, you can't live in sin and rest in Christ at the same time. Or you can't live in sin and be at peace at the same time. And Christians, we know, sometimes we try, and it never works. We may even know people that are literally trying to do that. And God is patient. He's long-suffering. I'm thankful for that. But the truth is, you cannot do it. It is impossible for a Christian to maintain that peace and live in sin at the same time. It is impossible. And one of the reasons why sometimes Christians are so miserable is because we're trying to do both of those things at the same time, and it can't be done. Finally, peace grows where faith is planted. When we sow the seeds of faith, eventually peace will begin to grow. And it can be a challenge to do that and to maintain that little garden of peace, but it is connected to faith, and it's also connected to prayer, and we'll get to that. Anyway, just a few things to get us thinking about peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, as I said, the first thing about peace that I want to talk about is that there are two kinds. There are two kinds of peace. There is the peace that the world offers, and then there's the peace that God offers. And we see that, I believe, just demonstrated or revealed here by Christ in this one verse, verse 27. Look what it says. Jesus Christ is speaking. He's been teaching his disciples and discussing different things with them over the course of the last few chapters, and he's about to go to the cross for them. And in this discourse, in these conversations, he says this, "Peace I leave with you." Now, bear in mind, he is getting ready to literally and physically leave. And he's going to give up his life, and he'll take it again. He'll resurrect, and then he'll be with them for a period of time, and then he'll be gone as he will ascend to the Father, as he did. But he says, "Peace I leave with you." And so this is not the kind of peace that the world has to offer, because Christ brought that peace with him. It's the peace that he has brought and that he has offered, that he has left. "Peace I leave with you." Then it says, "My peace." Not the world's peace. This is a different peace. Think about that. There is a peace that the world has to offer, but then there is the peace of God. Again, Isaiah 9:6 refers to him as the Prince of Peace. Among that verse, there are many titles given to our Lord, and Prince of Peace is one of those titles. And so when he says, "My peace I give to you," it's not the kind of peace that the world has. It's a different peace. It's peace from on high. "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And the reason why he adds that, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid," is because he has just told us that he is leaving his peace with us. Here's what I'm going to do. I know that the world can be a scary place, and I know that there can be a lot of troubles, but I'm going to leave my peace with you, my peace, and so that you can bear underneath the troubles of this world. And that's the promise that we have. When we think about the world's peace compared to God's peace, the promise of God's peace is that in the midst of difficulties, we can still maintain. We can still have that peace. And it's true. And I'm so thankful that it is. A couple of things in regards to the world's peace. The world's peace is shallow. And I'm not picking on anybody. I live in this world. I've experienced these things. I have come to realize that the peace the world has to offer is shallow. It's only skin deep. I can look like I got it all together on the outside, but on the inside there can be turmoil going on. And maybe you don't see it. Isn't that the case for many people? We'll sometimes sit down with folks and maybe, you know, they'll reveal to us, or maybe we'll reveal to them that, you know, I might look like everything's going great, but I got a lot of struggles. The peace that the world offers is just surface. It's shallow. It's skin deep. Secondly, it's conditional. I can have peace in the world as long as everything is going great. Isn't that true? Right? As long as everything's going great and the bills are paid and the car's running fine and the dog's not sick and the kids are healthy and supper tastes good, everything's going great, I'm at peace. But the moment one of those things go askew, boy, look out. It's not fun anymore. The peace is gone. It's a temporary peace that this world offers, a conditional peace. It doesn't last. As long as everything is going well, then we'll have peace. But the moment something changes, boom, peace is gone. That peace was only temporary and fleeting. The peace of God is not momentary. It's something that we can maintain, that we can have continuously all the time. Doesn't mean that we'll have easy times, but we can have peace in the midst of difficult times. Jot it down as well that the world's peace is often manufactured or fabricated. It's peace, but it's peace that we have fabricated. It's temporary, it's surface, it's shallow, and it might even be a bit of a facade, fabricated. If I take the right medicine, if I'm in the right environment for the right amount of time and I forget about all the realities of what's going on around me, then I can maintain that little bit of peace that's not real. It's just sort of fabricated and manufactured, but I got to have it just for a little while, right? So these are the kinds of peace that the world offers and that many try to indulge in and they chase after, and it's momentary and temporary and shallow and all of those sorts of things. The peace of God that we're talking about, just quickly, according to 1 Corinthians 14:33, tells us that God is the author of peace. In the same verse, he's not the author of what? Confusion. Because confusion often steals our peace, right? When we don't know what's going on and we don't know what's happening or where things are going or where things are headed, we can be a little bit stirred up and it can be frightening or disturbing and we lose our peace. But when we turn to the Lord, he is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. He will literally write a story of peace in our lives. Doesn't mean, again, that it's going to be easy or comfortable, but we can be at peace in the midst of the storms. You've heard me say it many times. Christ said, oh, ye of little faith, why are you afraid? You don't have to be afraid. You can be at peace. You can be content. You can be faith-filled even in the midst of storms. And that is a liberty that we get to have as Christians. And I just think it's wonderful that we do. And this is one of the reasons why we share this with those around us. We want them to know, hey, you know what? There's a peace that lasts. The peace of God, the author of peace, will give you a peace that lasts. Second, Christ is the Prince of Peace. I mentioned that several times, Isaiah 9:6. Thirdly, he offers a perfect peace, according to Isaiah 26:3. A perfect peace, not a shallow peace, not a temporary peace, not a peace that is dependent on our circumstances, but a perfect peace, the kind of peace that we can only find in the Lord. We can't find it in this world. You know, we can literally, no pun intended, have a little bit of a little piece of heaven here on earth, P-E-A-C-E, because the Spirit of God dwells within us. So we can have the peace of God even in the midst of this broken world. Finally, according to Jeremiah 29:11, God wants us to have peace. He wants us to have peace. He knows his thoughts towards us. His desires for us is to have peace. That's God's will for us, to be at peace. And so when it comes to peace, we have two options. Number one, the first thing about peace is that there is the world's peace and there is God's peace. And of course, I fully and highly recommend choosing God's peace, right? Much better. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let's turn there next. Romans 5, verse 1. The thing about peace is if we were to share these things with somebody that maybe doesn't know the scriptures or isn't familiar with what the Bible teaches, they would understand that. If you were to say, hey, you know what, world? The peace that the world has that you've been indulging in is kind of temporary. It's kind of shallow. It's dependent on your circumstances. And most everyone would agree, yeah, that's true, actually. As long as everything's going well, I can be at peace. But when things get a little shaky, I lose my peace. I lose my joy. Right. Do you know what? God offers a peace that remains even when things get a little shaky. How you like the sound of that? Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Is it true? Christian, is that true? Is that true for you? And that's the challenge. It is true. And it's where the Lord works within our lives to daily teach us that that is true so that we can hold on to that peace, so that we can walk in the Spirit and maintain that peace and joy. But it takes that exercise of effort and applying faith and looking at the Word of God and remembering things like Romans chapter 5, verse 1, that says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, or the second thing about peace, is to have peace, we got to make peace. Get that taken care of right off the bat. There are two kinds of peace. There's God's peace and there's the world's peace. If you want God's peace, then the first thing we have to do is make peace with God. And what does that mean? Well, Romans 5:1 again, it says, therefore, being justified, the word justified means to be made just. As sinners, we're born in sin, separated from God. We are unjust. We stand guilty before God. We lie, steal, dishonor our parents, all of those things. And so we know that if we were to die in our sin, we would stand before God, we would be guilty. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, because of his grace, the Bible says we become made just. I said, really? I didn't do anything to accomplish that. No, you didn't. Jesus did. And if you put your faith in him, he is justifying you, or the justification of Christ is placed upon you. And that brings peace between us and God, his Father, and now ours. Again, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How many people like to have peace with their neighbors? We like to have peace, right? Peace with our co-workers. Again, as I said earlier, I don't like it when I'm at odds with somebody. Somebody's upset with me, I want to try to make peace. What can I do to make things right? Because it isn't nice to be at odds with somebody. Do you know that we were at odds with our God before we became children of God? In other words, we were born enemies of God, separated from him. And in fact, the Bible says that we are of our father, the devil, Satan. It doesn't sound nice to say that. And I hate that I had to tone my voice down because I don't want to offend people. But it's true. The Bible says that Jesus Christ said, you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar, a murderer from the beginning. And so we are born with these sinful habits in our life, or these sinful tendencies. And because of those sinful tendencies, we are at odds with God. He is angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We stand opposed to him. And that's a problem. How can I be at peace with God? How can God and I be at peace with one another? I don't want to be an enemy of God. Well, as we just read, according to Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith. Okay, so I need to be justified by faith. Faith in who? Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in him, the Bible says we are justified, which makes us at peace with God. No longer enemies standing opposed or separated against him because of our sin condition, but through faith in Christ, his blood covers, eradicates, washes away our sins, and we are at peace with God. So second this evening in regards to peace is to have peace, we have to make peace. And when we make peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, then we have access to peace. Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. Thirdly this evening, or the third thing about peace. Number one, there are two kinds of peace, God's and the world's. Number two, to have peace, we have to make peace with God. Once we do that, once we come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, we are at peace with God. Now we have access to that peace, the peace of God, the one who is the author of peace, the one who is the prince of peace. Now we have access to his peace. Look at this verse, starting in verse 14, it says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is maybe a difficult thing for me to articulate, but I understand what this means. In my own mind, I think about the fact that there are times when I might be frustrated, upset, and I'm not in the best of places, and I can sense the Spirit is convicting me to just let the Lord handle it. But instead of letting the peace of God rule in my heart, I'm stubborn and proud, and I just stew in my frustration for a little bit longer. And the point is that peace is something we've got to yield to. The Lord is someone we must yield to in order to have his peace. That's why it tells us to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Wouldn't it be great if I just woke up every day and I was, automatically happy all the time? I don't know. I'm just always happy. It's just there, and I don't even have to work hard at it. Well, the truth is that I do sometimes have to work hard at it. And the Bible tells us to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Jotted down as a third point in regards to peace, the third thing about peace is that peace fills the heart that Christ rules. We have to let. We have to choose. We have to submit and say, Lord, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to let my wrath or my emotions lead me, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I'm not going to worry or stress. I'm simply going to yield to you, and I'm going to choose to let your peace rule in my heart instead. I'm just going to trust you, and I'm not going to worry about anything else. And that's hard. It's easy to say that. I get it. I know that. But nonetheless, when we practice that, when we choose continuously to pray and leave these things with the Lord, we're choosing to let the peace of God rule in our hearts instead. What does that look like? Paul and Silas, one of my favorite examples of peace and joy in the midst of difficulty. Those two guys chose to let the peace of God rule. That's what it looks like. When you're arrested and battered and beat up and accused of doing something that was the right thing, and yet the world says it was a bad idea to preach Jesus, and you're thrown in prison, locked in stocks, to let the peace of God rule is to choose not to be bitter. It's to choose not to be angry. It's to choose not to lose hope, but to trust the Lord, remember his promises, and let the peace of God rule. Now, again, that's not easy. But with practice, we get better and better, and God is good. And he allows us the privilege of having peace in the midst of difficulty. We can have inner peace. We can have peace with God, peace with our enemies, and peace in our circumstances, which is where we're going next. Before we turn to the next verse, though, look at verse 16. Because this is connected to the next place we're going to. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Then it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But the point is, again, we see that three-letter word, let. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. How do I do that? Well, if I want to let the word of God dwell in me richly, then I need to open the book and read it. And read what God's word says to me. And meditate upon it. And apply it in my life. Be patient. You know, trust the Lord. All of those different things that we read about. And when I do that, I'm letting the word of God dwell in me richly. And when I let the word of God dwell in me, when the words of God continually are speaking to my spirit, his truth, trust me, be faithful. I will uphold you. I will be your strong tower. I have my thoughts towards you is peace and to bring you to an expected end. When we remember the word of God that we read, it helps bring peace into our hearts, peace into our lives, peace into our thinking. Turn to Psalm chapter 119, please. Psalm 119. And we're going to go all the way to 165. This is the longest psalm. Longest chapter of the Bible. And I expect you all to have it memorized by next week, so I don't know. Psalm 119. There are two kinds of peace, God's peace and the world's. To have God's peace, we must make peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, peace fills the heart that Christ rules. And then number four is God's truth or God's word brings peace. Let the word of God dwell in you richly so that we can let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Look at verse 161. We'll read a few of these. It says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of the word. Almost every verse in this chapter, by the way, has to do with the words of God, with the truth of God, with the precepts of God, with the laws of God. However, it's described, each verse describes it sometimes a little different, but this whole psalm has to do with the value of God's word, the Bible, scriptures. And so it says that we stand in awe of his word. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil, right? It's like when you're a little kid running around the woods and you find a really great stick. I guess if you're a boy, anyway, that's the way it works. Like, whoa, look at this, a sword, it's a gun, you know, whatever we like to play, we use our imaginations when we're young, and it's a great gift, you know, and we think this is a great thing to find. Well, peace is like that. When we look at the word of God, we find peace within it, like a great spoil. God's word is filled with riches and treasures, including peace. 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. And then 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, sometimes there are seasons in my life and everything seems to irritate me. Everything seems to set me off. Everything seems to be an offense or a frustration. You know, you just have one of those days or one of those seasons. But, you know, the word of God can make a difference. When we're in the word of God, it can bring peace or great peace into our lives. So we love the scriptures for that reason. because it directs us. It reminds us of who God is and what he's doing. And jot it down that God's truth brings peace. How many times in Scripture do we see the Lord Jesus Christ bringing peace to someone's life simply through interaction? Maybe he comforts them with a word or two. Maybe heals them of some ailment or issue they're facing. And the individual will leave in peace. Whether someone that was lame or a leper or someone that was sick or someone that was wayward. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks his truth and there is peace in the place of the perplexity or the problems that they had. And likewise in our lives, when the word of God is spoken to us through when we read it or when we hear it preached, it often helps bring peace in the perplexity of our life or in the problems that we have. And not just any peace, but great peace. When we read the scriptures, we are comforted. That brings peace. When we read the scriptures, we read about God's promises, right? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Great is your reward. And it brings peace. When we read the word of God, it helps us to grow in our faith. And we see God's faithfulness to us. And that brings peace. When we read the word of God, it reminds us of his supernatural power. That he's with us. He never leaves us. And he will strengthen us and help us. And that helps bring peace. So the word of God, scriptures, God's truth, brings peace. And it's important to know that. A lot of times we lose our way, and the scriptures help us navigate back to that place where God wants us to be. And when we are where God wants us, that's when we will have peace. I've talked to different Christians many times that have come to understand, and this has happened in my life as well. When we're out of the will of God, we're not going to be happy. It doesn't matter what it is. You might live in a million-dollar mansion with all the money in the world and everything else you could ever ask for and be miserable. The only place that we can actually be happy, actually have joy as Christians, is in the will of God. And that's where we will find our peace. And the scriptures help navigate us there, help remind us to be in God's will, to walk faithfully with him. So, as it says here, God's truth brings peace, and not just peace, but great peace. John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. Going back to that discourse, Christ speaking with his disciples, he's about to pray for them and with them. Verse 33. This is probably my favorite thing about the peace of God, by the way. And there's lots of examples in Scripture that we can turn to that shows us this kind of peace. But here's what Jesus said, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And we got to get this straight, because sometimes we're in the world and we don't have peace. We say, Lord, you said I'd have peace. Look at my life. Look at my job. Look at my world. It's chaos and confusion, and I don't have peace. Christ didn't say that in the world you'll have peace. He said, in me you will have peace. And so again, when we know Christ, when we're trusting in Christ, when we're following him and looking to the scriptures to find out how he wants us to live, that's where we will find our peace as Christians. We won't find it in the world. We find it in Christ. So again, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. And isn't that true? In the world, ye shall have tribulation. All who live godly shall suffer persecution. It doesn't matter how faithful you are, Christian. We all know that believers face tough times. James was faithful. And yet we were looking again this morning at the fact that James, a faithful disciple of Christ, lost his life. But did he lose his peace? I don't think so. Matter of fact, I think he had more peace than ever before, even as he neared the time of his death. That's the way the Lord works. He often brings peace that passeth understanding in difficult times. In the world, there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be troubles. And I can't criticize or blame God when that happens, because he told me it would. All who live godly will suffer persecution. Jesus Christ said that in the world you will have tribulation. Yeah, I know it's tough down there. I live there. They killed me. That's what Christ would say. Yeah, it's not easy. In the world you will have tribulation. Write it down. It's true. It's going to happen. But here's the good news. In me, you'll have peace. So we can be in Christ in the world. And going back to that little example that I love so much of the ship and the disciples in the ship. In the boat, in the ship, they had tribulation. But Christ was there with them. And he tried to help them understand that you can trust me. Where is your faith? Be still. And the storms were ceased. And so in this world filled with tribulation, we can still have our peace in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. I jotted down, our peace isn't dependent on our circumstances, but on God. And that's so powerful. Our peace isn't dependent on our circumstances. And there's been many times in my life where that's the way the formula worked for me. As long as everything was going great and everything was tickety-boo the way that I wanted it to be and working out according to my schedule, then there was peace. But boy, when things went astray and my schedule went up, you know, up in smoke and things weren't going the way that I thought they should, well, then I lost my peace. Not really. I just let it go. It's still right there. And the Lord tells me in his word that I will order your steps, that you are bought with a price. You are not your own. And the scriptures remind me of how to have peace. Oh, yeah, that's right. When Christ rules my life, there is peace. But when I take charge, guess what? The peace dissipates. And so we're told in scripture to let the Lord bring peace. Well, our peace isn't dependent on our situations, and I'm thankful for that. I want to look at another verse of scripture, though, just to drive that point home a little further. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I've read this verse I don't know how many times, but never really paid much attention to it until I did this little study the other day. I thought, wow, what a great verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is, of course, Paul. He's concluding his letter here, coming down to the benediction part of it. In verse 16, he says these words, "Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all." That was his prayer for the church. Now, he's not saying something that isn't possible. He's not ending his letter by telling the church or the Christians there that the Lord has something for you when the Lord doesn't really. I believe the Lord does have peace for us. Look how he puts it. "Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means." So that tells me that in every circumstance, whether I'm Paul or Silas or the disciples in a boat, I can have peace in every circumstance. And again, isn't that liberating, Christian, to know that? Because we often think and wonder, what am I going to face tomorrow? What could happen in this situation? Could things get worse? Could it get scary? Well, it might, and it probably will. And according to the Bible, it's going to. But I can still have peace. In Christ, I can still have peace. The circumstances don't dictate the peace. The Lord Jesus Christ does. And so I can have peace even in the difficult times that I face. And that's wonderful to know that. Let's look at one more, or I guess two more. Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 6. Again, I have all these references. If you want them, I can share them with you again later. This is also very important. Our peace hinges on our prayer lives. I really believe this. Starting in verse 4 again, it says, "Be careful for nothing." Or another way to say that is, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious about nothing, or don't worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." What are we seeing here? It's saying, look, don't worry about anything. Oh, there's a problem. There's a problem. What do I do? What do I do? Oh, it's okay. You're a Christian, right? Yes. You're in Christ, right? Yes. Well, you have access to the throne. Oh, that's right. Yeah, go there. I'm not trying to be silly. I'm talking to myself. This is all. So if you have an issue, take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we sing, right? And so this is what this verse is telling us. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When something comes into my life and it begins to steal my peace and I don't want that to happen, how do I hang on to that peace? I don't want to let it go. I go to the Lord. Lord, I want to maintain your peace that you are letting me have, the peace that you left with me. And I want to maintain. So I have an issue that's trying to rob me of my peace. I'm bringing it to you. Can you look after this? Can you give me strength? Can you help me to trust you that I will maintain my peace in the midst of this difficulty? And you know, I believe that it's honoring to God when we choose to do this. When I choose to let peace rule in my life instead of worry or fear or anxiety, they often try to take positions on that throne. But when I choose to let peace rule instead, it pleases God. It honors him. I grow in my faith. It makes God look good. And it tells the world around me that I believe what the Bible says. I don't always practice what I preach. You may as well know that up front, but I want to. And so God is patient. And one of the things that I know I need to do is I need to make my request known to God. And here's what happens when I do. Here's what happens when you do. You know, these are life-changing principles in God's Word. Life-changing truths that we can apply over and over and over again. And God's instructions always work. Here's what happens. Verse 7, when we make a request known to God, when we come to him with everything in prayer and thankfully, it says the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We can't even understand that kind of peace. We can't contrive or create the kind of peace that God is offering us, that God has for us, freely offering us this peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Who can know it? Who can comprehend this kind of peace? It says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, peace dwells within here. Within here, right? Peace is not a physical thing that we necessarily feel, right? I don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, my arms feel peaceful, right? That doesn't, my heart is at peace. My mind is at peace. I can sleep well and I can just, you know, carry on throughout life because there is a peace in my heart. There is a peace in my soul. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Others would look at me and say, I don't understand how you can be so at peace with what's going on. Well, it's God's peace. He gave it to me, and I decided not to let it go. I think I'll hang on to it. It's really nice having that kind of peace. When I take my request to God, he has told us that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We'll be safe in the peace of the Lord God. And so prayer and peace are connected. This is the sixth thing about peace. Peace is connected to prayer. How many times have you had a difficult day? You go home, you pick up the phone, you call a friend, call your mom, talk to your spouse, whatever, one of your children, and it helps, right? Why? Because they encourage you. They say, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. I'll help you with this. It'll pass. Don't worry about it. You know, they say words to us that edify us and encourage us, and that fear and that anxiety begins to shrink, and what fills its place is encouragement and peace. You know, that's what God does. When we talk to him, when we pray to him, when we bring our request to him, it's the same idea. Say, hey, it's going to be okay. You can trust me. Remember my promises. I won't leave you. I'll order your steps. I'll keep you safe. And so we have that peace, the peace of God or the peace of the Lord that passeth all understanding. Talking to God helps. Peace and prayer are connected. And God wants us to pray to him. And when we do, we can maintain that peace. Finally, number 7. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5. This morning I ran out of time. I was rushing through it. So this evening I'm glad to see that we're going to end without me stumbling over my tongue here, trying to get through it all. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Not only is peace something that God offers us, that we can have through him, but it's something that he wants to grow within our very lives. And so knowing that, not only does God want to grow peace individually within us as his children who have trusted in Christ, but corporately as a church body, as the body of Christ on earth, we are the only entity, we are the only people group on planet earth that has the kind of peace that we're talking about. Nobody else has access to it. It's impossible. You can't have the peace of God until you have made peace with God. If you haven't made peace with God, you're at odds with God, you're an enemy of God, and you don't have access to that peace. But once you know Christ and you're at peace with God, you have access to a peace that passeth all understanding. And God wants to grow that peace in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 tells us about the fruits of the Spirit. And these are the types of characteristics that God wants to develop within your life and my life. From time to time, I think it's good to come to this verse and take a look at it and use it as a bit of a checklist. So how about the fruit of love? Am I a loving Christian? How about joy? Am I a Christian that has joy in their life? Or am I always grumpy and miserable and cranky? And if that's the case, well, then the fruit of joy needs to begin to grow. I got to do something about that. God wants me to be a joyful Christian. Leap for joy, Jesus Christ said. He wants me to be a Christian who loves others, a Christian who is patient, long-suffering, gentle, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of peace is also listed here, the third one in. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And the point is that God wants to develop or produce His peace in our lives. The Bible refers to the Lord as the great husbandman. And He is pruning us, and He's cutting off those little sucker vines that draw away all the energy and all the sustenance so He can produce nice, big, plump, fat fruit on the vine to bring Him glory. And not just one or two, but much fruit. 60-fold, 90-fold, He wants to produce fruit in our lives. And one of the fruits that He wants to produce is the fruit of peace. And so we should be able to identify that. You know, I used to be a lot more frustrated than I am now. There used to be a lot of anxiety. But, you know, over time, God is producing peace in my life as I grow in my faith. And I got a long ways to go on some of these yet, but the Lord is faithful and patient, and I'm thankful that He's continuing to work on me. So seven things about peace as we close. Number one, there are two kinds of peace, God's and the world's. Number two, to have peace, we need to make peace with God. Number three, peace fills the heart or the life that Christ rules. Number four, God's truth or His word brings peace. Number five, our peace isn't dependent on our circumstances, but on God. Number six, peace is connected to prayer. The two go together. You can't have one without the other. Number seven, God wants to produce peace in our lives, and I hope that He is. Anyway, seven things about peace. You know, these little phrases and catchwords that we sometimes use, like joy and love and peace, they don't always mean as much to us as they should. But like I said earlier, the kind of peace that the church has, the kind of peace that we're facilitating, even here tonight, not perfect, but it is unique and it is not in this world. It is only of the Lord. It is Christ's peace that He has left with us, and I'm thankful for it. Anyway, seven things about peace. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day today, for Your word and all the things that we can learn in it. And again, we just ask that something would attach itself to us this evening by way of Scripture truth. Lord, that it would edify us and encourage us. Thank You for Your peace. Thank You, Lord, that we have this incredible liberty, this reckless faith that we can trust You despite the circumstances and be at peace with our circumstances. Lord, this is a wonderful gift. And Lord, we thank You that we have access to Your peace in our lives. Thank You mostly that we are at peace with You when we put our faith in Your Son who died for us. That we don't have to earn it. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to somehow trick You into giving it to us. But it's a free gift. You offer it to us freely. We need only to accept it by faith, to believe in Jesus Christ. And when we do, we have access to Your peace. So, Father, we thank You for it. We ask You would bless us now as we close. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, carefully looking at my little sheet.